You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to Genesis chapter 28, verse 20, where we left off last time. Genesis chapter 28, verse 20. Just before we begin, I want to invite the entire United States of America to tune in on my program this same time, same station, on Saturday, October 12th. We're going to take a field trip and we're going to have America's Day of Repentance. And I want everybody in America to join me, and please begin praying for it right now. October 12th, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, same time, same station. We can get the internet all over America or all over the world. America, Day of Repentance. And now we go back to Genesis chapter 28, verse 20. Last week, Father Isaac had blessed Jacob with the Abrahamic blessing, which meant, son, God is going to send the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, through your lineage, and you're going to be a great nation. Well, Jacob's brother Esau was very, very jealous of Jacob, so he said, I'm going to kill you. So Rebekah, Jacob's mother, said, why don't you go to Haran and visit my brother Laban until Esau cools off, and then we'll send for you and you can come back. And so Dad Isaac says, and while you're there, why don't you marry one of those daughters of Laban and keep the seed in the Adamic race there so Messiah can come? So Jacob left off. Now, he had not gotten there to his uncle Laban's place, but dark came. So he lay down in the field to go to sleep, and he found a smooth stone. We'll call it Jacob's stone. And he put his head on the stone, and he went to sleep. And God gave him a dream. He saw a ladder to heaven, and angels were ascending and descending on the ladder. The ladder, of course, is Jesus Christ. And God was on the top of that saying, I'm going to bless you. The Messiah is going to come through you, and everything's going to be all right. So last week, then he woke up, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And he took the stone, we call this Jacob's stone, and he poured oil on it, making an altar. And he said, this is Beth-El, Beth House, El God, the house of God. And so he then began to pray about the stone. Now, what you need to know is that the Israelites, his descendants, they took that stone and planted it there in Jerusalem. But through all of their migrations until they got settled, they would carry that stone with them. And it's called Jacob's Stone, the Stone of Scoon. And right now it is in Scotland. And you also need to know that every king and queen of England has taken their coronation oath above that stone. So we have the Stone of Scoon, the Stone of Jacob. Now we begin.
And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me, and will keep me in this way, that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, 21, so that I come again into my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God.
In other words, God, you take care of me. I'll give my whole life to you. He said, then shall the Lord, L-O-R-D, in the original manuscripts, the proper way, Lord, is Yahweh, Y-H-V-H, the sacred name of the Lord. Who is the Lord? He's the living word. His name is called the Word of God. Who is the living word? Jesus. Okay.
Yep. Amen.
There you have it. So he said, I'll serve you.
22, and this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house.
So that stone is very, very important. You'll be hearing more about it.
And of all that thou shalt give me, I shall surely give the tenth.
Isn't that beautiful? We did not hear of Isaac, his father, tithing. We don't know if he did or not. But his grandfather Abraham tithed when Abraham met Melchizedek, king of the just, a pre-incarnate Jesus, the pre-incarnate Jesus. Abraham paid his tithes to Melchizedek, who was really Jesus before Jesus ever came to the Virgin Mary. And now Jacob's going to do the same thing. And do you realize that God's laws have been passed down orally before they were written? Malachi 3, which says, bring all of your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in God's house, and God will open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, you won't have room enough to receive it, and God will rebuke the devourer for your sake before that was written.
Amen. Amen.
Unto thee. Genesis chapter 29, verse 1. Then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east.
In other words, he came where his relatives were. This was where Rebekah had come. This was where originally Abraham had left when God called him. Right now, we would call that area a wreck.
Verse 2, and he looked, and behold, a well in the field. And lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it.
Good Lord, the first thing he does, he sees a well. And he sees three flocks of sheep, and he sees the field. Now, Jesus tells you that the field is the world. And Jesus tells us that he's the shepherd, and you are the flock of his pasture, right?
Yes.
Okay. Look, but there are three of them, and they're lying down, lollygagging there, and there's a well. They all need water, but nobody's drinking. You know what that tells us? This is so beautiful. The Holy Spirit gave me a nudge. I'm going to share it with you. This tells us there are three type character of people, classifications of character, that of human beings ever since God sent man here. And one third of the flock is evil. They'll cut your throat, and then while you're gurgling, dying, they'll have some dinner. The other third doesn't do anything. Just give me my remote, give me my paycheck, and give me my money. That's all I want. They don't do any harm, but they don't do any good. Lukewarm, God can't stand. I can't either be hot or cold. Mm-hmm. So there's that third. And then what? Look at the people today. And then you've got one third who are the movers and the shakers. Mm-hmm. They're going to fight for God. They're going to fight for country. Now, where does this come from? This has always been the way it is since we've been in the human body. From the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, world, Greek, Aeon, age, the first earth age, when Lucifer, the beautiful cherub, rebelled and said, I will be God. We were all with God in our spiritual bodies. There was no sin, there was no age. We'd all been created at the same time, but there had been no temptation. How many of us really loved God with all our heart? So when Lucifer said, I will be God, Revelation 12 says one third of the angels, that was the stars, the children of God minus the flesh, got up and followed him just like that. Boom. No loyalty, betrayers right there. And you see them in every generation. Boy, are they on the scene today. And then, of course, there was a little group. They only get one dishonorable mention in the Bible. That's the lukewarmers of the Church of Laodicea. God says, you make me throw up. They sat and watched the show. They don't do anything. They just watch the show and just don't care about anybody, but just keep me in my peace. But there was one third, Revelation 12, that got up and fought against the dragon, who was Lucifer, the devil, fought for God. And this elect were chosen for before the foundation of the earth and sent out in each generation to be the oracles of light. And so that's where generation after generation you find some voice coming in with that power and that message of God. And Jacob was like that. So there we have in the field. So this is what he sees. Jacob becomes a type of Jesus coming to the field, to the world, and seeing the flock and seeing what a mess we're in.
For out of that well they watered the flocks. A great stone was upon the well's mouth.
Well, there was a stone there. They couldn't get to the water. You see, the wages of sin is death. except for the group that fought for God, all the others, I mean, they had committed treason. The small group that fought for God was sent out to be the oracles, bearers of truth in each generation, and God chose them to do that. But everybody needed the water. Who is the well? Who is the living water? Jesus. He's the well of salvation.
Verse 3. And thither were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the sheep, and put the stone again into the well's mouth.
Now what he's doing, this was their custom. They didn't feed a flock or give a flock water when they got up there. They waited until all the herdsmen came in, and because the stone was heavy, then all the herdsmen would circle around, and they didn't have to work hard, pick it up, and they would water them all at the same time. What a waste of time. So inefficient. You're going to find that Jacob has a genius for animal husbandry, that he's very efficient. You see, an elect, chosen of God, you don't waste time. Small talk is not your thing. Small stuff is not your thing. But all the stuff is big stuff. Even the cleaning the bathroom toilet. I admit that. Because it's for God, you understand. It's all big stuff. And so you don't ever waste time. It's a sin to waste time. There is a lives are being wasted away, and you've got the truth, and there you are lollygagging over your cell phone.
In his place. 4. And Jacob said unto them, My brethren, whose be thee? And they said, Of Ham are we.
So he says, who are you? So they identify.
5. And he said unto them, Know ye Laban, the son of Bethuel? And they said, We know him. And he said unto them, Is he well? And they said, He is well. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, cometh with the sheep.
Now look at that. God has already gone before Jacob to help him know that God is with him. Yes, Laban, his uncle, is there. Yes, he's alive and well. And in a little while, you're going to see a beautiful young girl coming and with the sheep, the flock that belongs to Laban. Her name is Rachel.
Verse 7, Lo, it is yet high day, and neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together.
Jacob kind of fusses at him. What are y'all wasting all this time? You're all just lying around here waiting on somebody to move the stone. The cattle should be grazing. You're going to waste the whole day. You still got to water them. It's going to be time to take them back to the barn.
Water the sheep and go feed them. 8, and they said, We cannot until all the flocks be gathered together, until they roll a stone from the well's mouth.
How many say, I can't do it because somebody needs to help me. Why don't you just take the first step? That's what I did. And you know what? When you take the first step, then God will give you the strength to take the second step. Go on out there. Do something great to shake up this world for Jesus Christ. Go out there and get the Word of God, the real Word of God, the mystery, out to this world.
Amen. I did.
Then we watered the sheep. 9. And he yet spake with them. Rachel came with her father's sheep.
Here comes a beautiful girl.
For she kept them.
You know, that tells Jacob a lot. This is a young girl, and she keeps her uncle's or her dad's sheep. Laban is her dad, is Jacob's uncle. So that means that Laban is not too wealthy. He didn't have a lot of cattle, okay? So that shows him something right there. It just enough so that a young girl could take care of them.
Verse 10, and it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother.
Beautiful girl coming there. After all he's been through, me, Tarzan, you, Jane, who will roll away the stone. The three Mary ladies were coming to the sepulcher. There was a great big stone, and it was the first day of the week. And they said, Who will roll away the stone? It's too heavy for us. But when they got there, it had been rolled away. Jesus rolled away the stone.
Amen.
Ironically, it would be through this Jacob's lineage that Jesus would come, and he would roll away the stone of death that keeps you from the living water.
Amen.
So that you could have resurrection life and live eternally.
11. And Jacob kissed Rachel.
Now, don't get too excited about that. That was the custom in the Mideast. Besides, she was family.
And lifted up his voice and wept.
He was so traumatized. He had just got the Abrahamic blessing. I mean, the Messiah is going to come through your lineage. You got to go over there and get the right wife, because God's not going to send his son through just any woman. It's got to be the right pedigree. His brother Esau's tried to kill him. He's had a vision on his stone of a ladder to heaven. And here he is. I mean, it's just a little bit too much. I love the fact that he wept. I have no respect for anyone who cannot cry. What kind of a Christian you don't feel other people's pain?
12. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother.
Now, he didn't lie there. In the Hebrew language, there's no word for nephew. There's no word for uncle. There's not even a word for grandfather. Remember last week, when God spoke to Jacob on the pillar, the ladder thing, he said, your father, Abraham. There's no such word for grandfather. So they would use the word brother, meaning family. So that's what this means. But you know, we do that. Most of us in here, we're not blood relatives, but we're brothers and sisters in Christ, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
But we do have a blood relation, don't we? Yeah. The blood of Jesus
blood
Christ.
Of Jesus.
Yay!
Yeah.
Clap, clap, clap.
And then it was Rebecca's son. And she went and told her father.
So she runs and says, Dad, there's a good-looking man out there, and he watered all my sheep. And he says he's your sister's son.
Verse 13, and it came to pass that when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, they ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him.
Laban did love his family. Remember, he loved Rebecca, his sister. He didn't want her to leave.
And brought into his house. And he told Laban all these things. Verse 14, and Laban said to him, surely thou art my bone and my flesh.
So Jacob tells him why he's running, about Esau wanting to kill him and so forth.
Abode with him to stay for the month.
You can stay here a whole month, says Laban.
And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, therefore serve me for naught. Tell me, what shall thy wages be?
Now, boy, is Laban something else. He saw Jacob out there move that stone away and very quickly water all of Rachel's flock and probably some of the others. And he could see right away that this young man was going to be a worker. So he says, oh, you just stay. You're welcome, your family. You just stay here a whole month. Now, of course, you're going to have to work. Now, how much am I going to pay you?
Yeah.
16. And Laban had two daughters.
Uh-oh.
The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. 17. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy youngest daughter.
The book of Revelation says we have seven trumps. It's not an actual trump or trumpet. It's an event. At the seventh trump, the last one out, we're in the fifth one now, a time of learning. The sixth one will be the Antichrist, but at the seventh one, the real Jesus will come, and he's coming back for a bride. Are you going to be ready? Are you the bride?
19. And Laban said, it is better that I give her unto thee than I should give her to another man. Abide with me. 20. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. And they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had for her.
On the cross, Jesus suffered there. And he paid the sin debt for all mankind. But it seemed like a small thing to him. For the joy set before him, Jesus went to the cross.
Amen.
Because he knew he was going to have a bride, you, the church.
Yes, yes, Lord.
Verse 21. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled.
Okay, time's up, wedding time.
That I may go in unto her. 22. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast.
Now, this shows you a lot right here. 7 years have passed, and we're going to find that Jacob is an absolute genius at animal husbandry. He knows how to get more calves and sheep and everything born. So by now, Laban is obviously very, very rich. So, I mean, he's going to really go all out. I mean, what they would do, they would have a tremendous feast. Just before the wedding, all day long they would feast. I imagine they had breakfast. They probably had a cookout out there. They probably had grilled lamb chop. They probably had smoked king fish. Ooh, is that delicious? And I mean, what else they had, I don't know, but I'm sure it was good. Lots of mutton, okay. So it makes a feast. But this shows you, remember God had said to Jacob, anybody that's, you know, that you're with is going to be blessed. Yeah. Do you realize that when you have the anointing, that everybody you meet is blessed one way or another?
Amen.
Even if they're evil, they'll be maybe perhaps convicted of their sins.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that great?
Yeah, that is.
Don't you ever walk in this world anymore thinking you're not important. Go out there with the Holy Spirit and shake up things.
Amen, amen, amen.
23, it came to pass in the evening, then he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her.
Oh my goodness. The title of this tonight is, Who's That Hiding Behind the Veil? Okay, you say, how could that be? First of all, they've been partying hardy all day long. Lots of food, lots of wine, music, dancing. It's a happy, happy, happy time. And then there's the wedding veil. We know today a beautiful bride, she has the veil, you know, like that. I mean, some of those veils have got kind of silvery stuff on them, and you could easily hide under it. So, you know, I'm sure that Laban made sure that Jacob had a little more wine than he should have had. And so here comes Leah in the veil. And besides, they didn't have electricity like we do, so it's not so light. Now, I told you we're in the fifth trumpet, time of learning. That's why you're hearing this, because from this day forth, your life should be changed. You should be totally dedicated. You shouldn't go out here halfway Christian like you came in. You got to go out. We're all out from now on in. Mm-hmm. And the sixth trumpet is about to sound, but he's going to call himself seventh. He is going to be veiled, as the real Christ. The world will call him God. Half of the body of Christ, Matthew 25, five are wise and five are foolish. Half are going to call him Jesus and fall in the bed with him and marry him, spiritually speaking. And yet he is veiled. He comes with two horns of a lamb, but the voice of a dragon. The Antichrist is the devil with his Jesus costume on. He comes at the sixth trump. Jesus doesn't come into the seventh, but the sixth is veiled, so he looks like Jesus. Two horns of a lamb, but the voice of a dragon. But you see, right now, I'm pulling that veil off for you. The very book of Revelation means to unveil. The Word of God unveils the truth. The fake one comes first, and he'll deceive the whole world. How would you know? The Word of God says so.
Yeah.
24, and Laban gave it to him, his daughter Leah, Zilpah, his maid, for an handmaid.
It was a custom then, when you gave your daughter to be married, you'd give her a maid. Now, you want to remember Zilpah's name, because she will have a lot to do with the 12 patriarchs, who are the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel have to do with every one of you under the sound of my voice. Now, you're in the story.
25, and it came to pass in the morning.
Uh-oh, here comes the sun creeping up over the tent.
Behold, it was Leah.
Oh, good Lord, woman. Oh, my goodness, what a shock. You know what the Bible says? The very elect who will not be deceived by the soon coming Antichrist, we already have unveiled him, because we've unveiled the Word. The elect's going to be delivered up to Antichrist, and the whole world will hear us, and the Holy Spirit will speak through the elect, and what we will say will help everyone. Everyone will hear the true gospel. Everyone will hear in their own dialect. And those precious Christians who do love Jesus, who do go up to church all the time, but never get the mystery, you just get your one verse and 3 points in your sermons and your books about the book, they're going to cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them because they love Jesus. They realize they have married the devil who was veiled as Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he said to Laban, "What is this that thou hast done unto me? Did I not serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me?"
You know, that really the time, 7 years that Jacob put in, that was like a dowry. In that time that they would pay a lot of money when they started to marry a girl. Well, Jacob ran away. His dad, Isaac, was very wealthy, but he didn't have time to get gold and silver, so he was going to work it out. But when the Lord Jesus came to this field to pay your sin debt and marry you, he didn't bring silver and gold, but you were bought with a precious price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
26, and Laban said, "It must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn."
Don't you like his little smart aleck? That's a snarky remark. He's the kind of a person, no matter how dirty he's done you, he's going to make him try to paint himself like a noble person. "I was just doing the right thing. The law of our land, my son-in-law, is that I always have to give the older daughter first. And I just obeyed the law. So see what a noble person I am." You know people like that?
Yeah.
Verse 27. "Fulfill our week, and we will give thee also for the service which thou shalt serve 7 added years.
Okay, we've just had this feast. Give me another week to prepare another wedding feast. It takes a lot of time and preparation to get all that food prepared, especially that smoked kingfish. And so we said, we better take time to do this. But he said, "You can have Rachel. In 1 week, we'll have the wedding. But then you've got to stay here and work 7 more years for her."
28, and Jacob did so and fulfilled the week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. 29, and Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid.
Now, don't forget Bilhah's name. She will play an important part in the 12 patriarchs, who heads of the 12 tribes of Israel, which have everything in the world to do with each one of you.
30, and went also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and said, "And served with him yet other 7 years.
Jacob kept his word.
Verse 31. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated.
Now, when it says hated there, Jacob didn't really hate Leah. It's a word that means love less. Remember, Jesus said in the New Testament, unless you hate father, mother, sister, brother, etc., that you cannot be in the kingdom of God. Jesus doesn't teach hate. It means love less. Your love for God must be so much that your love for other people almost will just, you know, just you wouldn't even realize it. So that's what it means. Obviously, of course he loved Rachel. He was the one that he was in love with her.
He opened her womb, but Rachel was barren.
Now, God had some sympathy for Leah there. She's kind of like a pawn in all of this. So the thing was, they wanted to go ahead and have the babies, because remember, Messiah is supposed to come through this lineage.
32. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, "Surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction."
Reuben's name means, "Behold the sun."
Now, therefore, my husband will love me.
As many a young girl has learned, the man doesn't love you just because you have his baby.
33. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, "Because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also." And she called his name Simeon.
Simeon means a hearing. In other words, God has heard how that Jacob loved Rachel more than you. So now we've got two. Here come the 12 patriarchs, which have to do with you, the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel. First of all is Reuben. I would memorize these because you're going to need them. Reuben and Simeon.
34, she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi.
Levi is the priesthood, the liturgical priesthood. God said the tribe of Levi would be the ones who would declare the word of God and also would do the sacred music. So the Levi, the tribe of Levi, they declare the word of God, the preacher or teacher had the word of God, the priest line, and the Levites are the priesthood. What does a priest do? They join people to God by, you know, the word of God and so forth. So she was saying that now Jacob's heart's going to be joined to me, not just his body. Now he's going to be in love with me.
35, and she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, therefore will I praise the Lord. And she called his name Judah.
Judah is the king line and means praise. Judah is the king line and means praise. Jesus is of the tribe of Judah through the Virgin Mary's father, Heli. But remember that Jesus is also our high priest after the order of Melchizedek.
Yes.
He's also of the tribe of Levi by Mary's mother. So Jesus is high priest and king of Levi and of Judah. And look who their mother was, Leah.
And left bearing.
And so she stopped having babies for a while. Thank goodness. So now we begin what is so very important. We're going to trace all this down through the book of Genesis into the United States of America, the migrations of our people, as well as the beautiful land of Israel, where a large part of our brother Judah are to this day. God bless you. We'll begin right there next time. Just remember that the sixth trump is the one that is coming with a veil over his face. Oh no, he'll look like Jesus. He'll talk like him. He'll act like him. It'll be a big revival in the Christian church, but it won't be the real one. How are you going to know? The seven trumps. Seven comes after six. Six comes before
Amen.
Seven.
Amen.
Jesus is seven. God bless you.
Amen. Amen.
Well, at this time, we're going to have mystery moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I would like to introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Sun Tree, Florida, man of God by twin friend Scott Merson.
Hi, Miss Sherry. I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry. It was a great, great lesson tonight.
Thank
it was a great
you.
Lesson. Okay, we have our question. Ezekiel says that Jacob's stone must be overturned. Can you please explain?
Yes, in the book of Ezekiel, it's talking about this stone, and it's a prophecy. It says this stone would be overturned, overturned, overturned. It says it three times. Overturned means moved. Well, what they did with Jacob's stone, they finally settled it there when they got settled in Jerusalem. They carried it around with them. But the prophet Jeremiah moved it, overturned it the first time when he brought it from Jerusalem to catch up with the 10 northern tribes that had migrated into what we now call Europe. And he took it, he gave it to Scuta, one of the three daughters he'd brought to marry with the tribes, after which Scotland is named. And then they realized that they needed to have the king line of Judah continue. So then they took the stone and moved it from Scotland to England, and that's where every king and queen of England has taken the coronation to defend the faith of Jesus Christ above Jacob's stone. Now, a few years ago, as a prank, and just for fun, Scotland came in there and stole that stone of stone and put it back in Scotland. Overturned from Jerusalem to Scotland, overturned from Scotland to England, overturned from England back to Scotland. The Ezekiel tells us, Scott, that the next one to sit on it will be he whose right it is to sit upon it, Shiloh, meaning the next one to be crowned king above that stone yeah. is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus
Amen.
Christ. See how close we are?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, we're the last part of the fifth trump.
And the queen's getting up there in age, too.
she's in her 90s. That's right, too. So no more of those. Jesus is the next one.
Amen.
Well, David left his stuff in his cart, and Zeke put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
God gives a specific word for every movement, position, time, and order. And in his release of the word, it stands, creating, supplying, and offering wisdom within position. His signs and wonders are grounded in it, rooted in his truth and light.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Scott. That is beautiful. Thank you so much. In a moment, I'm going to pray for those of you who are sick, but let's pray for anyone who's lost. If you're not saved or not sure you're saved, please pray this prayer with me. Mean it with all your heart. And tonight, you will have this day, whenever you're listening to this, you will have eternal life. Ready? Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please wash away all my sins.
Please wash away all my sins.
With the blood of Jesus.
With the blood of Jesus.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit. Grow me in your word. From the milk to the meat to the mystery. And use me. To win many souls to Jesus. Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Now, in a few minutes, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. Feel free, and I invite you to call me and leave that message on my voicemail and tell me you were saved, and I will certainly pray for you. Now, let's pray for the sick. Precious Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, according to Malachi 4, I ask that the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in your wings from the north, the south, the east, and the west, that the healing virtue of Jesus, the laser beams of light, go into the bodies wherever the pain is there, disintegrating the pain. Jesus bore the pain. Pain sucked. In Jesus' mighty name. Anything blocked there, unblocked. Any kind of growth, disintegrate there in Jesus' name. Let there be life. Let there be perfect circulation. Let there be wholeness, reparation, rejuvenation, restoration, strength, vitality, life, life, life. Father, bring it health and cure. We thank you. With your stripes, we are healed in Jesus' name. Amen. We praise you, Father. You might like to call and also tell me that you were healed. Now, you know nothing is given you to keep, so make sure that all these beautiful truths you hear, that you go and you tell. Jesus' name is called the Word of God, Revelation 19:13. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. I want to give a special shout out of thanksgiving to the owner of the produce place, my twin friend Scott Merson, for his Scott stuff and all of his help.
Thank you very much, Scott.
And thank you for your
God
beautiful
bless.
Family. God bless each of you. And this is Sherry Medlock, your host, saying, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory, forever and ever and ever. Amen. God bless you, and I love you, and I can't wait till we get together again next time as a family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Yeah. Woo.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
With the hands that formed the world, you washed our feet. Kneeling down, you laid aside your majesty. Then you said for us to go and do the same. So we serve for the glory of our King. You left heaven strong to rescue what was lost, stretching out your mighty arms to bear the cross. Then you rolled away the stone, the victory won. And you said, go and tell the world what love has done. King of
King of love, let your King.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3.
Is it true?
Yeah.
Just like you, Lord. raise me up when no hope seems to remain. Raise me up.